Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder if Jesus existed for eternity, then why is he called the Son of God? Well, my friend, if that is your question this morning, stick around because I got a question just like it by email. Very well thought out, detailed question, I should say. Bob, just checking a theology question, if you don't mind. So God was not made. That means God did not create Jesus and the Holy Spirit, right? They were also always in existence. And when Jesus refers to himself as the Son and God is the Father, that is just an imperfect analogy. But he doesn't intend for us to carry it so literally that we think God created a son, right? Yes, a very fair question. Jesus always existed as God and as the second person of the Trinity, but not in the form of a man. Whatever he looked like before, whatever power he had before, he gave it all up when he emptied himself of the form of God to come to earth. The momentous transformation is described with significant detail in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I'm reading from the NASB. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. After his incarnation and birth through the Virgin Mary, he became the Son of God. Now, fascinating as that sounded, let's get back to the terminology. You're going to find this interesting. In eternity past. I realize a word like eternity past sounds like some kind of contradiction. In eternity, there is no past. Past from our point of view, prior to Jesus becoming a man and entering time and space. In eternity past, if you will, using that phrase just as a conventional reference point, the second person of the Trinity was not known as God the Son, but rather God the Word. In John chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Okay, what the heck are they talking about? Well, my friend, just relax. When we read the Bible in context, it tells us what it's talking about. Later on, not much later, just a few verses down, same chapter, John 1, 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." In Greek, the language of the New Testament, word was sometimes portrayed as being beyond a spoken or written word as we understand it. They had a concept called logos. That's what the term word literally is in Greek, logos. And that is what is being translated here. This referred to a pre-existing personified expression in eternity past. A similar idea is found in the Old Testament. In the many pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus to people such as Abraham, Joshua, and Jacob, who saw and interacted with what looked like a man, later to understand that this person was God, the word used is messenger. This word gets translated as angel in our English versions, creating some confusion. Certainly there are other beings in heaven known as angels, and yes, these angels are also messengers of God, but apparently there was one special messenger known as the angel of God or the messenger of God, another way of describing the second person of the Trinity. Notice the similarities of titles, God the Word and God the Messenger. God the Word as he's known in the New Testament, God the Messenger as he's known in the Old Testament, same person. In any event, Jesus is not a created being and is called Son in reference to his incarnation. He became the Son of God. Now, I'm going to do a whole thing on the Trinity in future shows, both the Trinity in the New Testament and the Trinity in the Old Testament. We'll have a separate show for each. But for now, I want to briefly take you to John chapter 8, verse 58, because in this place, we see something very interesting. A lot of times people say, okay, that phrase Son of God, that's pretty confusing to us. Doesn't Jesus ever call himself God in so many words? Well, let me read this question to you. This is typical of a question I often receive. In John 8:58, Jesus identifies himself as God by using the very name of God, I am. The Jewish leaders seemed to understand just exactly what he was saying. After all, they picked up stones to execute him, and rightly so. For a Jew to claim to be God was the highest form of blasphemy, unless by chance he was telling the truth. But the Jews had no way to discern whether or not Jesus was telling the truth. Why did God not authenticate the deity of Jesus right then and there? Why hold the Jews responsible for sincere ignorance? Well, my friend, how God deals with sincere ignorance is a great topic for another time. For what it's worth, I do believe he takes sincere ignorance into account. As for the primary question, the answer is quite simple. God did establish Jesus. No, he did not speak to the Jews right out of the sky at that particular moment, but he had used exactly that very theophany before. Theophany is a word for appearance of God or manifestation of God or hearing the voice of God. Anyway, we go back earlier to the Gospels. When Jesus was baptized, what happened? God spoke out of the sky saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." By today's standards, by today's vernacular, this may mean little more to people than God identifying Jesus as just one of his many children. He's my son. Buddha was my son. Muhammad was my son. Everybody's my son. Everybody's my daughter. Well, yeah, God thinks of us that way too. However, going back to our previous discussion, the term Son of God is now referring to what was once known as God the Word. And that title, within ancient Judaism, specifically in Jesus' time, in the first century, well, it may seem unusual to us, but that was another way of saying God. Claiming to be the Son of God was a claim to deity. Claiming to be the Son of God was claiming to be God incarnate. Calling yourself the Son of God and calling yourself God was the same thing. Now, I'm going to talk much more about that in our future show about the Trinity, but right now I can guarantee you that may seem unusual wording to us. We don't speak that way, but to the ancient Jews, when Jesus called himself the Son of God, he was calling himself God. And as indicated in that passage we just looked at in John chapter 8, there were other times when in so many words he said he was God. I am, that was the name for God. That was the name that was used at the burning bush. When Moses said to God, "What is your name?" He said, "I am." That was God's name. Anyway, back to the question, which goes beyond the claim. This question is, well, why didn't God authenticate the claim? And I backed up and said, well, he did right from the beginning. "This is my beloved son," right out of the sky. Throughout the remainder of Jesus's ministry, the authentication continued. He performed miracles, signs, and wonders. He healed the blind, the deaf, and the mute. He also multiplied fish, cast out demons, walked on water, calmed a storm. During his crucifixion, the sky turned dark, and many of the Old Testament saints, meaning Old Testament heroes, saints is just a term we use, many of the Old Testament heroes that we read about in the Bible, they resurrected, making numerous appearances to the Jews. We can read about that in Matthew chapter 27. The priest of the temple witnessed the curtain of the Holy of Holies being supernaturally torn in two. We also read about that in Matthew chapter 27. This indicated that the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, Old agreement between God and the Jews was over, and that access to God was now granted. No longer would people need the high priest alone to seek atonement for their sins. On the following Sunday morning, there was an earthquake and the visitation of an angel to Roman guards who reported the incident. This same angel rolled the stone away from the sepulcher where Jesus' body had been buried. Finally, the resurrected Jesus himself appeared to 500 people. I would say that God did a fairly good job of authenticating Jesus. Yeah, but Bob, all these incidents are in the Bible. What if we do not accept the Bible. Well, my friend, that is an excellent point, but to pursue that right now, we would have to alter the premise of the discussion. A moment ago, you were presupposing an accurate biblical report by pointing out that Jesus claimed to be God in front of the Jews without immediate authentication. If you are going to pose a question from within the perimeters of the Bible, then we must answer within these same boundaries. In other words, your objection, and you didn't phrase it like this, but your objection in essence said, according to the Bible, it does not look as if God proved the claims of Jesus Christ. My answer simply follows the rules of your own question. My answer says, actually, according to the Bible, God did demonstrate the credentials of Jesus. Now, having said that, there are other ancient documents which authenticate these same events. Josephus, Tacitus, Acts of Pilate, the Talmud. We'll talk about that in a future show. I know, a lot of stuff for future shows. I guess you'll just have to keep tuning in, won't you? But for now, this is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.